Welcome back to Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM in Silver City. I'm your host for today's show, Donna Stevens of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. If you're just joining us, I am talking with Jamie Thompson about carbon drawdown and its many facets, and there are a lot. Jamie, we've been talking in this show about the carbon cycle, carbon drawdown, biochar, and so much more. I want to talk now about some of the socioeconomics around this. Can you talk briefly about market mechanisms for decentralized carbon drawdown? And please, of course, first explain what you mean when you say decentralized carbon drawdown.
Oh, sure. With our program, we're really focusing on households. The scale that we are really interested in is extended families or neighborhoods. And so that's the means of production for the refining of carbon that was previously in the biological carbon cycle into a form that is no longer in the biological carbon cycle. And there's values to that. We see it right now. We're already paying for the effects of atmospheric carbon that's too high in the forms of drought and wildfires, water. There's hurricanes. We've talked about all that stuff. And so we're already paying for it. The question is like, how do we make this work? Our program is decentralized. That only means that instead of having a single company, large company that centralizes all the feedstock and then changes that feedstock into char, what we do is the means of production, you know, think of it from a Marxian perspective, is distributed to households. So it's a free market mechanism, but it's not capitalized, if that makes any sense. It's not centralized.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. So to build on that, how do we decouple economic growth from carbon consumption? Because we know that income is directly related to consumption and that consumption always increases atmospheric carbon output. So how can we have economic development that actually reduces atmospheric carbon?
Yeah, that's a fancy way of saying, you know, you give people $1,000, they're going to buy a car, right? Or they're going to buy a television or something like that. And, you know, they may really need this, you know, even if they buy food or whatever, when people have extra money, they tend to consume. So that's a primary problem. Doing a carbon pricing enables people to make rational decisions that take into consideration the carbon content of whatever they consume. And so, for example, consuming music from a busker that is in front of the co-op does not have the same carbon content as driving your car to the Gila hot springs. I don't know. Having a market mechanism that lets us compare those two behaviors or behaviors like that is essential, because a lot of what we need, there are some concurrent needs going on, right? We need to have impoverished people more economically stable, because that's good for our democracy and it's good for the environment in the long term. But if we increase their economic standing, oftentimes that also results in atmospheric problems. So carbon, a market mechanism or carbon pricing allows people to make those decisions.
Okay, that makes sense. I just wanted to ask you briefly to follow on what you just said. How is economic development tied to political stability or political instability?
Well, I mean, we see that right now, right? Economic development of, you know, places that do not have much economic development places where there is a huge disparity between the people who have a lot of money and none money, no money at all, they are more likely to experience war. They are less likely to be able to mitigate the changes of climate change. And a response of that is, and we see it already, that economies are not able to mitigate climate change, people are forced to move, and huge human migrations can create economic and environmental disruptions as they invade other places. And so it's really essential that we have, programs, if at all possible, that satisfy economic development at the same time that we're able to reduce atmospheric carbon. And with the program that we have, there is that opportunity. There's a group called Sun 24. What they did is they went to Africa, where three stone fires are used for all the cooking. And all they did is they changed, they made those three stone fires. So it's just three stones that you put your pot on and you cook your meal off of. And they introduced people to tongs and slightly more efficient ways of burning the feedstock. Then they were able to take this char and crush it up. And in Africa, they have oxisols primarily. So these are highly weathered soils. They have very low cation exchange capacities. So they have very hard time holding fertilizers. And so the char is extremely valuable to those types of soils. And so each one of these households is not only able to, they have the labor to make this char, which is good for all of us, but they're also able to increase the productivity of their little household garden that they may sell part of that in the market. And when you look at the number of people that use those sorts of stoves, what we're able to do is we're saying, you know, these tongs, they just take out the charcoal as it's before it's gone all the way to ash, and then you put water on it and then break it up. Each one of those households does like, I think 300 or 400 kilograms of char a year. And these are in the number, you know, in the billions. And so when you start looking at those sorts of solutions, all of a sudden we're able to achieve the sorts of goals that we have to achieve. Those families too, recall, are only putting in 2,000 or 3,000 pounds of carbon a year. You know, very poor people in Africa are not contributing much to atmospheric change. And they're able to pull a lot of the carbon that we're putting in. The question is are we able, if we're able to compensate them just a little bit, and it's not going to cost us very much at all, then we can help ourselves while we're helping the global South.
That sounds great. And Jamie, we just have a couple minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that we have time to talk about other steps, that local steps that listeners can take. So you have several ideas for these actions that will contribute to carbon drawdown. Can you talk about a few of these in just a minute or two?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I talked too much.
Just keep going.
There's a lot of stuff people can do. One, they can check out the stoves. I think every household in Silver City should have one of these stoves. I think they're great, and we need to start putting them in houses.
Yeah.
These are water heaters, household heaters. I think they work out really good. We would love to show folks how they work. Alternatively, you can sponsor a stove in Mexico where they need these things. We also are putting these things into, we're hoping to put them into schools down there for, you know, when they do their cooking for the kids in the schools. Alternatively, if you're interested in voluntary carbon markets and playing with that a little bit, you can purchase certificates. Now, certificates are just verifying that carbon has been taken out of the biological carbon cycle and has been put in a state that cannot be combusted, cannot go back to carbon dioxide. Really simple verification. And then you would own that certificate. And so it has value, very similar to any, like a bond certificate or anything like that. And the certificate guarantees that this char is in the grant. Okay. The other thing people can do is, you know, at some point we've got a subsidy. We've got essentially free feedstock in the form of pecan shells. We're going to have to move toward pelletizing the waste stream. We're going to have to pelletize everything for these stoves. And there's an opportunity for enterprise funds, both the town water treatment and landfill, to divert those waste streams into pellets. And there are a lot of grants for that too. So we can start pushing folks in that direction. And we also need to expect that politicians start talking about carbon pricing. I think Buttigieg was the only presidential candidate to even talk about carbon pricing.
Okay, those are all really good suggestions. Jamie, we just have 1 minute left in the show, and I want to get to our lightning round questions really quick, just like lightning. So my first question is, what climate-related book have you read recently that you wish everyone would read, if you have one of those?
Confederacy of Dunces.
Okay, didn't think of that as a climate-related book, but gotcha.
Totally.
Okay, are there any movies about environmental or conservation issues that you want everyone to see?
I think Departure, because this climate change is a problem of humanity, not of the science is done. That's easy. But understanding how humans think and behave, I think, is way more important. So Departures.
Okay.
That's a Japanese
state of the world. What state of the world issues keep you awake at night?
I think that we just don't have the capacity, it seems, for diplomatic solutions.
Yeah, that's a good one. What conservation superpower would you most like to have?
The development of a carbon coin. That's easy.
Okay, carbon coin.
And the carbon coin value would be determined by scientists at the IPCC.
Okay. If you were in charge of the world, what one thing would you do today?
It would be the same thing. Yeah, get a carbon.
Okay. Jamie, just a couple more questions really quick. What is one thing that you are deeply grateful for right now?
I'm grateful for the Aldo Middle School. I recently had a bad thing happen to me. And, you know, that's the thing is middle school kids, I'm so grateful for children.
Okay. And what motivates you to do this work?
Bill, you know, every morning he's in here telling me about carbon coins.
Okay.
He's 84 years old. He's still at it. 80, whatever. I don't know. He's octogenarian.
Cool. Well, Jamie, we are out of time, but I'd like to thank you so much for joining us on Earth Matters. Many thanks to Gila Members Community Radio Station Manager and Audio Engineer Marcus Hansen, and to the board of Gila Members Community Radio for their dedication and work. And thanks to you, our listeners, for supporting the station and tuning in to this week's program. I'm Donna Stevens of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. Please join us next week for another edition of Earth Matters, celebrating our 10th anniversary this year on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU, at 89.1 FM.